Word of Faith Ministries, establishing the kingdom of God and changing lives with the message of faith and the grace of Jesus Christ with a practical, biblical, and balanced teaching you can trust.
Welcome, and we're going to continue with our study series that we've been studying for a while now. And what happened with Job? What happened with Job? Let's continue with, do not blame God like Job did. We'll be seeing part two of this. Part two. Now, if for any of you this is perhaps the first teaching, the first time via, be it radio or television, or through the internet as well, there are various sessions in this same study series, about, I believe, six or seven sessions that were recorded live here in our sanctuary, in our congregation. So I'm very close to finishing now this study series. So for those who like to study the Word of God and the Bible, it's a very easy, simple series. Perhaps for some it might be difficult because it will be something new, especially if you're new to the things of the Word of God. Majority of the people have an idea that God was the one that caused all the harm that happened to Job. Or in another way, in another sense, it's no, God didn't cause it, but God permitted it with a purpose. And they themselves identify with Job. They see themselves through Job. But in the first session, the first two sessions, I believe, I focused on what is the form in which we should identify ourselves with Job. And there's only one reason: in perseverance. Nevertheless, I also pointed out some differences between us and Job. So if you're of those Christians, when something bad happens to you, say, oh, God is testing me like he tested Job, I'm going to tell you something. You will never use your faith then, and you will never use your authority, the authority that God gave you through Christ, and you will never go against the hand of the devil, because you're going to assume that it's God. Now, I can't judge you. I will not criticize you for anything, but you have to decide and understand and know the truth. So I'm going to continue in Job chapter 9. Job 9:2. But how can a man be righteous before God? Notice this question. So in this whole study series, we saw that Job lived before the law of Moses. Therefore, the people at that time did not have a great revelation of God or a great understanding of God. In Job's case, he was a righteous, godly man. The Bible leaves it very well established for us. He was a just man, a righteous man. He wasn't a man that was necessarily, I don't believe it, because the Bible didn't say that he would abuse his wife, because even his wife said, oh, you still retain your integrity with God, curse God and die, things of the sort. But the Bible doesn't tell us anything of that. People may assume that it was that. The Bible doesn't say that. So in verse 2, Job made some questions here, as we've studied in our past chapters as well. He made certain declarations that were not true. So, continuing here, but how can a man be righteous before God? And he made it in the form of a question. Notice now in Romans, with the Apostle Paul, with revelation of the New Testament now. Romans 5, verse 1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we justify ourselves then by faith, through faith. So Job 9, verse 6. He shakes the earth out of his place, and it pillars treble. Now in verse 4. God is wise in heart and mighty in strength, who has hardened himself against him and prospered. So the thing is, when you harden your heart, it's not God that does it for you, or it's not that God is doing it with a certain purpose. Now in Hebrews 3, verse 7. Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today if you will hear His voice, verse 8 now, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion in the day of trial in the wilderness. Verse 9, where your fathers tested me, tried me, and saw my works 40 years. Therefore, I was angry with that generation and said, they always go astray in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Beware, brethren, lest there be any of you in an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Continuing now, verse 15. Today, if you will hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. 16. Failure of the wilderness wanders, for you who, having heard belief indeed, came out of Egypt led by Moses, not with whom who is was angry. Continuing in verse 15 here. Today He will hear you in the wilderness. Do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. So what's happening here? When we harden our hearts against God, Satan then is the one that takes advantage. Satan comes and takes advantage of that hardened heart. It's when we no longer perceive God. We no longer see Him. We no longer perceive the presence of God. Neither do we perceive the love of God or His mercy. So what we perceive now, not saying that it is that way, but we perceive Him as if with His just giant bat or with some sort of rod to lash out on us whenever we make an error. But the error that we do is when it comes against us. It's that Satan takes advantage. It's not God. You could say, but Brother Hughes, I'm going through this situation because God is testing me. Why would God test you if He knows what's inside of you? He knows what you think. The most profound and intimate thought that you have. He knows what's inside of you and me. God doesn't need to test us. The devil doesn't know. So the devil comes to test our faith. And there are things that we do due to ignorance. We give place to the devil. But the issue is never God. So to sum all of this up, of what I've been speaking in the last, in the former sessions, I believe about 7 sessions, one of the areas we saw was that Job spoke cursing. The Bible says that life and death are in the power of the tongue. And these are spiritual laws that have nothing to do with, be it the time of grace, the time of the law, or even before the law. From Genesis to Revelations, they are universal laws. And Job, due to fear or ignorance, started speaking cursing to his life. And we saw that in our past sessions. Now, if some of you are watching this again, especially if you come from a traditional religious background, instead of being discouraged, I encourage you to watch the first sessions. And in no way is my motive to offend anyone or to make them feel bad. On the contrary, my purpose is to help people to have a revelation of this, that their life then can change, a better understanding. So Job 9 in verses 8 and 7, he said some things that were true, but as we saw, some said some things that weren't. In chapter 9, verse 7 and 8, he commands the sun and it does not rise. He seals off the waters, and he alone spreads out the heavens and treads on the waters of the sea. 9, he made the Bear, Orion, the Pleiades, those are the constellations of the stars. He did great and incomprehensible things. In verse 10, he does great things, yet wonders without number. If he goes by me, I do not see him. If he moved past, I did not perceive him. So notice this. If God were to pass in front of him, he wouldn't know. Nevertheless, in verse 42 of Job, you see, Job spoke many contradictions here. Because in verse 42, 42:11, he said, in 9:11, he said he would not understand him. But in Job 42:1-2, then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that you can do everything, and that no purpose of yours can be withheld from you. So if God were to go in, if were to go in front of me, now again going back to verse 9, verse 11, if he goes by me, I do not see him. If he moves past, I do not perceive him. If he takes away, he can hinder them. Who can say to him, what are you doing? So you need to ask the help of the Father, the help of our Father, that the Holy Spirit will make you see and reveal very clearly when you're reading that Job said things in his pain, in his ignorance, but they were not true. Notice in verse 15 now, though I were righteous, I could not answer him. I would beg mercy of my judge. If I called and he answered me, I will not believe that he was listening to my voice. Look at what Psalms 91 verse 15 says. And there are many verses in the which we could contradict Job with. Psalms 91 verse 15. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. So we're not making fun of Job here. We're not judging Job. We're seeing that Job, in this moment, was going through difficult situations in his life and was speaking things he shouldn't have. One of the things we can learn is that we should not use a justification when going through difficult times to just speak what we feel. Some people have told me, oh, it's because of what I felt. I felt so terrible and I just spoke in the moment because I went through this situation and this other situation and this and that. And I just let myself be moved by my emotions. I understand you perfectly, but it's wrong. As believers, it's wrong. Amen. Man, all of these verses are so good in the Bible. Verse 17. We're in the same chapter of Job, chapter 9. For he has crushed me with a tempest and multiplies my wounds without cause. So here he was blaming God just freely, saying, oh, God is responsible for everything that's happening to me. He will not allow me to catch my breath, but fills me with bitterness. God isn't filling you with bitterness. Very quickly with me, go with me to Psalms. Psalms 16, verse 11. You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. It says here that he was filled with bitterness, the contrary, or the opposite to pleasures. Thank you, Lord. In Galatians, chapter 5, verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, there we go, peace, long-suffering, etc. But notice, joy. And Job here, chapter 9, verse 18, he says, but has filled me with bitterness. And then continuing on in verse 20, Job 9:20, though if I were righteous, my mouth would condemn me. Though I were righteous, my own mouth would condemn me. But the Lord said that you shall be justified or made righteous by your words or be condemned by your words. It's your own words, Job. Tell you in love to, I'm telling it in love to brother Job. Then verse 22, 9:22 of Job. It is all one thing. Therefore I say he destroys the blameless and the wicked. God does not destroy neither the blameless nor the wicked. It's the devil that takes care of that. Now, the verse that I mentioned right now, I didn't mention it exactly where it's at. Or I said he comparing it to Job 9:20. Though I were righteous, my own mouth would condemn me. It's in Matthew 12. For by your own words you will be condemned, or by your own words you will be made righteous. 12:37. There it is. For by your words you will be justified, by your own words you will be made condemned. By our own words. The author of all cursing and evil is Satan. The author of blessing is God. Job 9:23 now. If the scourge slays suddenly, he laughs at the plight of the innocent. Again, if the scourge slays suddenly, he laughs at the plight of the innocent. In other words, if a great disaster comes through, hurricane, a tsunami, and the people are die. For example, what just happened here in the United States with some of the hurricanes. And some parts in Mexico as well, in Spain, in the community of Valencia. Death, desolation, people, animals, cars, destruction everywhere with what happened there in Spain. Now, think about it. Would it be God, the author of that? And then God sees this disgrace and God is making fun of it. Ha ha ha, so funny. He's laughing from up there in heaven. Is that how you see God? By what Job said? Well, there are many Christians who do. Many. If the scourge slays suddenly, he laughs at the plight of the innocent. Notice in Psalms 115 verse 16, speaking of this verse here. Psalms 115. Verse 16. The heavens are the Lord's, but the earth he has given to the children of man. Now Psalms 135 verse 6. Whatever the Lord pleases, he does, in heaven and in earth, in the seas and in all the depths. So from here, people grab these verses, put them together and say, oh, you see, God is the one that's sending all disasters. But God is neither sending death, nor destruction, nor plague, or anything of the sort. Give me a moment to share something here with you. The Lord Jesus Christ said, Matthew 12, verse 7. Him speaking here. But if you have known what this means, I desire mercy and not sacrifice, you would not have condemned the guilties, the guiltless, for the Son of Man is the Lord even of the Sabbath. He said that if the scourge destroys suddenly, he laughs at the suffering of the people. Help me with Exodus 23. Verse 7. Keep yourself far from a false matter. Do not kill the innocent and righteous, for I will not justify the wicked. And Job here was saying that if the scourge comes suddenly, he laughs at the suffering of the innocent. Now help me with Ezekiel 33. I don't know if I'm saying it correctly. Ezekiel 33, verse 11. He puts the feet on my side. He watches all my paths. Look in that you are not righteous. I will answer you, for God is greater than man. God does not want the suffering of the righteous. Now, I'm trying to remember a psalm here. One of the psalms that says, in English, it says precious. Precious is the sight, the death of his saints. Thank you. Psalms 116, verse 15. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. So Christians see this and they say, oh. So God likes it when they go through this. He likes this. It says, but you see in English it says precious, of high value. Something priceless. Of high value. So dying out of our time, before time, dying at a young age. If you are a believer in Christ, you will go to heaven. But it costs the Lord here because it's a creator less, a soldier that is less of the Lord Jesus Christ here on this earth. We need more believers, more mature believers, not less. Amen. Verse 24, Job 9:24. The earth is given in the hand of the wicked. He covers the face of it. And then he asks, if it is not he, who else could it be? So in the moment of understanding, he said, well, perhaps it's not God, then who is it? Job, brother Job. Look at what John 8 says. John 8:44 says, let's answer Job's question and some other brothers in Christ here. Not to criticize, to help you. The Lord Jesus Christ speaking here to some Jewish people who believed in him, but had not accepted him as Lord and Savior. You are of your father, the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. Notice, he has been a murderer from the beginning. Been a murderer from the beginning. You have to see it here. Let's see it in the New Living Translation. It says, for you, this part, verse 44, he was a murderer from the beginning. Same thing. He has always hated the truth because there is no truth in him. When he lies, it is consistent with his character. For he is a liar and the father of lies. So can you see it there? It is not God the issue. God is not the issue. The issue is not God. Now, John 10:10, please. Here we're answering Job's question and some other brothers in Christ that could be just as confused as hope. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it more abundantly. That thief being Satan, which has come to steal and kill and destroy. Now, between many things that Job said, in chapter 9. Well, again, he continues blaming Job in chapter 31, in verse 31. Yet you will plunge me in the pit, and my own clothes will abhor me, for he is not a man I am, that I may answer him, that we should go to the court together. Verse 33, nor is there any mediator between us, may who lay his hand on us both. A mediator, Hebrews 8, Hebrews 8:6 says that the Lord Jesus Christ is our mediator of a better covenant established on better promises. 1 Timothy chapter 2, 1 Timothy 2 verse 5, for there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Jesus Christ. There is a mediator here. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. But Joseph, that it wasn't this way. Then 9:35 says this. Then I will speak and not fear him, but it is no so with me. It is not so with me. I'll move with the New International Version, then the New Living Translation. Then I would speak up with fear of him, but I do not stands with me. I cannot. Next version. Then I could not speak without fear, but I cannot do that in my own strength. But look at him as your Lord Father. Look at God as your Father. Lift up your hands and say, Father, you know what I'm going through, but I believe that I'm more than a conqueror. He has given you authority here in this earth. Don't start telling him everything with detail as if he doesn't know your issues. He knows what issues you're going through. There are Christians that confuse prayer with telling God every single detail that they're going through. God knows. Take some time to praise him for his promises. Take some time. And in the middle that you're in that moment of praising God with his promises, speak the promises of God over your life and rebuke the devil. Rebuke the perverse work of the devil and let the Holy Spirit of God tell you if you give place to the devil or not. The majority of the times that's how it happens. We give place to the devil for different reasons. One of them is due to ignorance. Now Job 10 verse 1. My soul loathes my life. I will give free course to my complaint. I will speak in the bitterness of my soul. I will say to God, do not condemn me. Show me why you contend with me. In verse 2 again, we see that he was blaming God for the things that God had not done. God never said nor did any of this. Notice in verse 1, my soul loathes my life. I will give free course to my complaint. Doesn't matter. I'm going to speak whatever it is that I want to. That's very dangerous when you do that, because now you're just letting your emotions run their course and let them dominate you. First Peter 3 verse 10. For he who would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from speaking evil. And comparing it to what Job said. My soul loathes my life. I will give free course to my complaint. I will speak bitterness of my soul. So how many people speak this way and think this way? Because they think it's a justification to just be speaking what they speak. And if you read all of this, Job said things that are also true, but he mixed truths with lies. This is where I believe this issue comes from. There's an issue here. They were mixing blessing with cursing, and the result was not good at all. All of verse 10 says things, as I said, some very good things, some very bad things. Let's see now, 10 verse 8. Job 10 verse 8. Your hands had made me and fashioned me in intricate unity, yet you would destroy me. So there's a truth here and then a lie. But again, it's not God. Verse 9, remember, I pray that you have made me like clay, and will you turn me into dust again? Never does the Bible say that he did this. Judgment came. Consequences came to the people due to the disobedience. Verse 10, did you not pour me out like milk and curdle me like cheese? Very tremendous. Clothed me with skin and flesh and knit me together with bones and sinews, or in this case, nerves. You have granted me life and favor, and your care has preserved my spirit. But look at how he mentions things very beautiful, very nice, and truth with lies. How many Christians are, unfortunately. They think that God gives them all their issues, and they're praising God, worshiping Him. But then they'll also say, I know that you gave me this illness to teach me something. Now you put this disaster in my life to teach me something. But you are good. You are merciful. You are just. And they say things with lies. So God can't act it and try to get you out of that situation, because although you're speaking truths, you're mixing in lies. So praise God. I want you to listen to the first message. Very important. All of them as well. They're all important. But if you have not been born again, this is your opportunity.
The Word of God says in Romans 10, 9 through 10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For in the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. If you have not received Jesus Christ, you have not been born again. Therefore, you have to take the next step. I am not speaking about a religion or changing your religion. I am speaking about you receiving Jesus as Lord and Savior. I invite you to make this confession with me. God, in heaven above, I come before you to receive the gift of life, to receive Jesus as Lord and Savior. I believe that you raised him from the dead. I believe he is alive and he reigns. Jesus, I give you my life, and I invite you into my heart. From now on, God, I can call you Father. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for receiving me as your child. Now, if you have said this prayer, you have been born again. Welcome to the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. Welcome to God's family. And remember, with all thy getting, get understanding. The word says in 2 Corinthians 5:7, for we walk by faith, not by sight.
Be the first to be notified of our latest streamings by subscribing to our YouTube channel, Word of Faith Ministries. Don't forget to like, comment, and share.
We want to know about you and what God has done in your life. Please visit our website, mpfccc.org, and click on the testimony section and share with us the wonders of the Lord.
Your continued faithful financial support enables us to spread the word of God throughout the world. You may sow into this ministry by visiting our website, mpfccc.org, under the giving section. You will also find information on the different ways you can give into this ministry. We thank you for your support.
Do you have any questions regarding this teaching? Visit our website at mpfccc.org and click on the question section to submit your question for Pastor Ignacio Hughes.
We are grateful for your continued prayers and financial support, which are important for spreading God's word around the world. Giving to our ministry is both simple and secure. Please visit our website, mpfccc.org, and find the giving section where you will find a variety of giving options. To make a donation, fill out the donation form, enter your desired contribution amount, select the specific fund you wish to give to, add your preferred payment method, and click the Give button to finalize your donation. Upon completion, you will receive a confirmation of your donation. We want to reassure you that any amount you decide to give is a blessing and appreciated in our ongoing mission. Thank you for your support and for partnering with us.
Glory to God. I want to thank all of our friends and faith partners of Word of Faith Ministries that make all of this possible, of being able to take all of these teachings by television, radio, and the internet to different parts and places in the world. Without your financial help, it would be impossible to do this. We are a local church here in Douglas, Arizona. We're not a big church. We're not a mega church. If it weren't thanks to our friends and partners, it would be impossible to do what God is doing through all of you. Now, I want to encourage you to use your faith and believe the Lord in the Lord, because the Bible says when we give in the kingdom of God, there is a great reward in our lives. God has promised it. There are laws of sowing and reaping. Now, there are those who have not been able to have not gone through the best. There are many groups in the body of Christ that abuse this, preaching a false message of prosperity, a false message of grace, and they all just focus on money, and they fall in what we call materialism. I'm not preaching that. I never have. I was not taught that way by my mentors in the faith. But we speak that when we give, the motive of accumulating riches is to distribute it. The motive of my accumulation of riches is distribution in the kingdom. But I cannot distribute anything if I don't have anything. For that reason, we believe in giving and receiving. Giving is an act of your own free will. You give from your heart. You give out of thankfulness to the Lord. But once you do it, now you need to exercise faith, believing that what you give will produce a harvest. You have to exercise that in the laws of the kingdom. Thank you, Father. Now, again, Job says some very true things here. Chapter 10. I was reading verse 12. You have granted my life and favor, and your care has preserved my spirit. Verse 13. And these things you have hidden in your heart. I know that this was with you. Verse 14. If I sin, then you mark me and will not acquit me of my iniquity. If I am wicked, woe to me. Well, if you sinned, we're wrong. The consequences will come, but not from God. And there's a solution to that. It's called repentance. Repentance means changing your way of thinking. Now, let's see Psalms 39, verse 13. Psalms 139, verse 13. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and my soul knows very well. Very tremendous here. For you formed my inward parts, you covered me in my mother's womb. Now people in the world are promoting abortion and pro-abortion, etc., etc., and they don't take into account that God, they always say women's rights, but there's another right. What about the life that's inside of you? There's a right to that life. Now go with me to chapter 12. Verse 1. Job 12, verse 1. We see one more time that it's Job speaking. One of the things that he said. Verse 6, the tents of robbers prospers, and those who provoke God are securing what God provided by his hand. What tremendous things Job said. Job Now, very quickly, let's go to Psalms. Psalm 63, answering this verse. 73:12. There are many ungodly people in this world. These are ungodly who always at ease, they increase in riches. They promote the ungodly, homosexuality, abortion, transgenderism, promoting so much ungodliness against the word of God. It's true, they prosper. You can prosper without God, but I don't recommend it. But Job here was saying that it was God. Says they live comfortably. Job 12, verse 6. The tents of the robbers prosper, yes. But here it's implying that it's due to God. Notice those who... And those who provoke God are securing what God provided by His hand. So if they prosper, saying that it's the homes of these people, it's because it's God. That's not true. Because before these disgraces were going to happen to Job, the Bible says that there was no righteous man as him. And the Bible didn't call Job ungodly. So then why was Job speaking these things? As I said, due to ignorance, due to everything that was happening to him, whatever it was. But that doesn't justify us then to speak the same as Job. And to say, oh, it's because I'm going through the disgraces because of Job. Well, you're gonna harden your heart more towards God. Job started speaking things so tremendously here. But notice how the Bible shows us at the end. This is the second time that I'll have to read the end of it. But I have to do it to prove a point for the good of the teaching of what I'm talking about. Actually, you know, well, let's see something that God was speaking of. Because, you know, he was speaking and blaming God. And the Lord answered. Chapter 40. Moreover, the Lord answered Job and said, shall the one who contends with the Almighty correct him? He who rebukes God, let him answer it. Then Job answered the Lord and said, behold, I am vile. What shall I answer you? I lay my hand over my mouth. Once I have spoken, but I will not answer, yet twice, but I will not proceed no further. Verse 6. Then the Lord answered God out of the whirlwind and said, now prepare yourself like a man, I will answer you, you shall answer me. Would you indeed annul my judgment? Have you condemned me that you may be justified? So you see, this question would be yes, because we see that Job, we saw in our last sessions how God wanted to justify himself. But see another part where God starts speaking here. Job 38, verse 1. Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, here we can see where it should have started. Not I should have started from here, not in 40, but in 38. But here we see how God starts speaking. God was quiet, listening to all the nonsense that Job was speaking, him and his friends. And God starts speaking here now. Verse 12. 32. Apologies. Who is this who darkens counsel by words without knowledge? The word here, counsel, is the word of God. Is he who darkens counsel by words without knowledge? Now I'll give you the answer right now in a bit. And you'll be surprised. That same verse in the New Living Translation. Who is this that questions my wisdom with such ignorant words? You want to know the answer? The church. The church. The church does this. I don't know if they put that verse, that same verse, to in the New King James Version. I didn't see it. They just put it in English in the other translation. You know who? The church is the issue. The teachings. And Job here starts speaking. Verse 3, and this can also be spoken to many Christians as well. I'm going to read all the way now to verse 7. Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding. Who determined its measurements? Surely you know, or who stretched the line upon it? To what were its foundations fastened, or who laid its cornerstone? When the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy. The children of God here, the sons of God, are the angels. So in other words, where were we? Or who are us to be condemning God and blaming and assuming that God is the issue when God isn't the issue? When better said, God is our solution. Who are us? Who are we? That supposed wisdom that some churches claim to be upon them. Now, I'm not going to give the name, because this person is a very well-recognized person in the body of Christ, and I won't want to be speaking ill of the servant of God. But this brother in Christ, and again, I won't give the name. I won't put any headlines or anything. They asked his opinion on the book of Job. And I'm trying to see where he mentioned it. He says, God uses Satan to strengthen and purify believers. God uses Satan. So God and Satan are faith partners in that. I'm just going to read this. This pastor thinks that responding to Job's wife's response to her husband's suffering, the pastor believes that this shows a double purpose, with the first being that in our suffering, our most precious friend or loved ones may turn against us. This is why Job turned against God. So he continues saying here that when Job explains to her that God has a right to bring good or evil, comfort and calamity, says this pastor, there's no pushback. It's not mostly to condemn her, but it's to bring highlight again the triumph of Job's faith and hope and love. Because notice again, God uses Satan to strengthen and purify believers during troubles despite the devil's evil intentions. So God uses Satan then to purify you, to preserve you, and to strengthen you. Purify, strengthen, and preserve, according to this very well-recognized pastor here in the United States. Well, if I wanted to, I could just, you know, judge what he said, judge the man. I could give the name, read the whole headline, tell you who it is, and you'd be surprised. But it's not my intention to judge this brother in Christ. But I can judge his words and what he's saying. Bible says, John 7, verse 24, that we should not judge according to appearances, but judge righteously. That righteous judgment is the word of God. And being just with our brother in Christ here, not going against him, is my brother in Christ, and I desire the best for him. But what he said is wrong. His theology is wrong. And there are many preachers where their theology is not correct. That theology is confusing the children of God more. And Satan is the one that takes advantage. Glory to God. I want to thank one more time all of our friends, faith partners of Word of Faith Ministries. I want to thank your financial help. If you received anything tonight in this teaching, I invite you to sow, to give. I want you to go with me, the Bible, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6. This I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. He who sows bountifully will reap bountifully. Verse 10, please. 2 Corinthians 9:10. Well, 9:7. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or out of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. Verse 10. Now may he supply seed to the sower and bread for food. Supply and multiply the seed you have sown and increase. He will increase and bring multiplication to the seeds of our righteousness. Help me again with the New Living Translation now. For God is the one who provides seed for the farmer and then bread to eat. In the same way, he will provide and increase your resources and produce a great harvest of generosity in you. International version, please. 2 Corinthians 9:10. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. Glory to God. That harvest of righteousness is financial prosperity in God's way. Financial prosperity according to God's way. You will prosper in God's way. Financially, God wants you prosperous. God wants you financially prosperous. We cannot finance the kingdom and his word. We live in a society based on an economy, in governments that have socialist models or communist models. To a certain point, we also use a capitalist model, because we also need to obtain that money and use it to be able to use it. Then same thing happens in the body of Christ. We live in a financial society, and as there have been people who have gone to extremes of prosperity and materialism, the majority of people in the body of Christ also have abused and preached poverty, a poor God in constant need and lacking. An illogical idea that Jesus was poor, and if Jesus was poor, then you and I have to be poor. That's a lie. It's a lie of hell itself. They're theories of men. They're religious. Just as we read these ideas here as well. Amen. Father, we thank you. I give you the glory and the honor. I praise you, Lord. Thank you that you speak to the hearts of your children that will give of those who I've received from this teaching. Thank you. Because you're the one that speaks and brings conviction to the heart of the people. In the name of the Lord Jesus, I ask you that you bring abundant harvest to their life. Thank you for listening to us, Lord, of our prayer. We receive it. We pray, believe that you receive it, says the Bible, and you shall have it. In Christ Jesus. Amen. This was another broadcast of the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. God bless you greatly.
We hope you have enjoyed today's teaching brought to you by Word of Faith Ministries. For more information about our ministry, contact us at 480-458-8255. 8618 or visit our website, mpfccc.org.